Night at the Museum. Secret of the Tomb. One night at the museum. It was an important evening at the Museum of Natural History. Rich and famous people arrived at the entrance in their big black cars. They were there to see the new planetarium. Larry Daly watched them. He felt a little hot and uncomfortable in his expensive clothes. He hoped everything was ready. He and the exhibits were planning a very special show for the guests. Some of the people here tonight could give lots of money to the museum. Dr. McPhee, the head of the museum, was watching too. His face was red, and his small eyes looked worried. Larry touched Dr. McPhee's arm. "Nice jacket, boss," he said. "Did you borrow it?"
"No, I did not," said McPhee angrily, and he pushed Larry's hand away.
"I'm the head of this museum. I don't need to borrow clothes." He walked quickly into the museum, and Larry followed. The new planetarium looked fantastic. It was in a very large glass room, and right now the room was full of people. Everyone was smiling and talking.
"Big night for you?" Dr. McPhee looked at Larry. He was always worried when Larry planned things. There were often problems. "I hope your surprise is ready."
McPhee knew the story about the magic tablet, but he didn't believe it. For McPhee, magic was impossible.
"Good evening," said Madeline Phelps, McPhee's boss. She came over to them and smiled at Larry.
"Ah, Mr. Daly," she said. "You have done wonderful work for the museum. We are getting more and more visitors for your shows at night."
McPhee moved forward.
"Daly is really only a night guard," he said. "All the shows are my idea, you know."
"Really?" said Dr. Phelps.
"You don't look like an ideas man. But tell me about the electronic parts inside the T-Rex. How do you do it?"
McPhee's face went red. He turned to his night guard.
"Larry?"
"No, Dr. McPhee," Larry said with a smile. "Why don't you explain your ideas?"
Dr. McPhee started uncomfortably. "A good magician doesn't tell his, secrets."
"Nice one, McPhee," said Larry quietly.
He looked at his watch. It was nearly showtime. He needed to talk to his friends. Larry hurried away.
"There's a new exhibit, Larry," McPhee called after him. "It's a Neanderthal. I hope you like him."
The exhibits were waiting at the main entrance for the show to begin. Larry went past the information desk. The Romans were there. There was a Roman town in the museum. It had small houses, small shops, and lots of very small Romans. They were playing on the computer and laughing at a video of some baby cats. The cats were jumping on a red light as it moved across the floor.
"Post the video and message on Facebook."
Octavius, their leader, was giving orders. The Romans jumped up and down on the letters on the keyboard.
"Would you like to put a message on Twitter too?" one of the Romans asked.
"That's enough, guys," shouted Larry.
He turned to his friends.
"Now, it's a big night tonight. Are we all ready?"
Everyone cheered. They wanted to start. Teddy Roosevelt came up to Larry. He was on his horse, and a group of big, strong men walked behind him.
"Larry, my boy," Teddy said quietly, "you need to see the new Neanderthal."
One of the men looked up, and Larry had a surprise. Was he looking in a mirror? The Neanderthal had Larry's face.
McPhee's little joke, thought Larry. Very funny.
"Hi, I'm Larry," said Larry.
The Neanderthal copied Larry.
"La,"
he said slowly. He touched Larry's hair and face with his big hand. Then he touched his own face. He gave a big smile.
"Dada?"
he said.
"No," said Larry quickly. "I'm not your dada."
"Dada,"
said La again, and he put his strong arms around Larry.
"Dada, dada."
Teddy smiled.
"It's good to have family," he said kindly. "But now we must kapalakpagila proper."
Teddy froze. Larry looked at him.
"Are you okay?"
Teddy moved his head carefully.
"That was strange. I am sorry," he smiled. "Yes, my boy, I'm fine."
Larry turned again to the group of exhibits.
"It's nearly party time," he said. "Don't worry, just have fun."
The guests were sitting at tables in the planetarium after an expensive dinner. They were waiting for the show to start, and they were hoping for something fantastic. Larry spoke quietly into his phone.
"Go lights! Go Teddy!"
Music filled the room, and a light shone in the center of the room. Teddy rode in on his horse. He looked the perfect president. Everyone cheered. Teddy spoke loudly and clearly.
"Since I was a boy, this museum has brought the past to life for the people of this city," he said.
The Neanderthals came in. They were holding fire torches.
"Today," continued Teddy, "we look into the sky, to the sun, the moon, and the stars. Would you like to meet them? Tonight you can."
He smiled. Behind him, starry lights appeared in the dark. They danced and moved around the room. It was a fantastic show. Teddy spoke to the guests again.
"This is all possible because of you," he smiled. "I look at you all, and I see..."
Everyone waited for his next words. Suddenly, Teddy's face changed. His eyes became cold, and his smile disappeared.
"Fight them!" he shouted.
He jumped off his horse and pointed his gun at the guests. Larry stood up quickly. What was happening? Something was very wrong here.
"They're all around us,"
Teddy shouted to the other exhibits.
"Fight them to the end."
The Neanderthals started moving towards the guests, waving their torches. Dex the monkey screamed at them. People jumped up and tried to leave the room, but they couldn't get out. Octavius and his men were running across the floor. They pulled over chairs and hit people's feet with their little swords. Even Sacagawea was throwing pieces of cheese. The guests were falling over and screaming. It was like a very bad dream. Larry ran over to Teddy. "What are you doing?" he shouted. Teddy was angry. He pointed his gun at Larry.
"Teddy, it's me," said Larry.
"I don't know you," said Teddy. And he pushed Larry away and fired his gun across the room.
"Stop this!" McPhee shouted at Larry as Dexter threw a meatball past his ear.
But Larry couldn't do anything. He had no answers. Then Teddy suddenly froze.
"Fergal Flimini Giger Ziza," he said,
and fell over, face first, into a plate of butter. Larry moved to help him, but then he heard a sound. He looked back. One of the tables was on fire, and behind it, something was moving in the thick smoke. A large animal came through the fire. It was Rexy, the T-Rex, and he did not look happy.
"Arr!"
"Oh no," thought Larry. The end will come. At last, the exhibits were quiet again. Larry put water on the fire. What was going on? He didn't understand. "What happened, guys?" he asked his friends. But they just looked at the floor. Teddy's face was red.
"We are very sorry, my boy," he said quietly.
"We don't know."
"No," said Octavius. He was upset.
"It was strange and horrible. We didn't have a choice."
Then Akhmemra called Larry over.
"Come quickly," he said. "You must see this."
Larry and Teddy followed him to the Egyptian room. Akhmemra pointed at the tablet.
"Look."
Akhmemra was worried. Usually, the tablet shone with a brilliant white light. But now, the light was not so strong. Part of the tablet was green.
"Oh no,"
thought Larry. "If the tablet stops working, the exhibits won't come to life."
"What's happening to it?" Larry asked Akhmemra.
"I've never seen this before," the young man said sadly. "My father didn't tell me all the secrets of the tablet. I don't know what to do." He was almost crying. Larry thought quickly.
"Okay," he told the exhibits. "I'll find an answer. For now, go back to your places and don't move. I'll be back tomorrow night."
Larry thought about the museum on the way home. He was only certain of one thing. The exhibits needed him. He had to help them. But how? When Larry got into the lift to go up to his flat, there were two policemen in it.
"Everything okay?" asked Larry.
"Noise problem," said one of the policemen. He looked tired. "Long night."
"I know what you mean," smiled Larry.
Larry was surprised when the policeman followed him out of the lift. They could hear very loud music.
Who's playing such loud music at this time of night? Thought Larry. Then he stopped. It was coming from his flat.
What's going on? He shouted as he opened the door.
The small flat was full of people dancing and talking. Nick, Larry's son, was having a party.
Okay, the party's over, shouted Larry.
But nobody could hear him. Larry turned off the music.
Dad, what are you doing here? Said Nick. It's only 3 o'clock.
Time to go home, one of the policemen shouted.
A pretty red-haired girl smiled at Nick and wrote something on his arm.
My number, she said. Call me. Best party you've had.
Larry turned to his son. He was angry.
All-night parties while I'm at work. Why, Nick?
Nick didn't look at his dad.
You're never here, he said.
He walked away and started clearing up empty bottles. Larry loved his son. He tried not to shout. You can't have parties like this, Nick, he said. You have to work hard for university next year. Nick looked away. I'm not going to university.
What?
Said Larry.
But we had a plan.
No, Dad, said Nick. You had a plan. I didn't. I'm going to bed. Larry's head was hurting. What a night. First, there were the problems at the museum, and now this. He wanted to talk to his son, but he couldn't find the words.
This conversation isn't finished, he said to Nick's back.
Larry went to the museum the next morning. Why was the tablet going green? He needed to learn more about the tablet, and he had an idea. He found an old box in a cupboard downstairs. Inside, there were newspaper stories about the tomb where they found Akhmemra and the tablet. Larry read through them until he found an important piece of information. When they discovered the tablet, there was a message with it. If you move the things in this tomb, the end will come. Larry didn't understand. Did it mean the end of the world? Or perhaps the end of the magic? Only Akhmemra's father knew the answer. And where was he? Larry read more. Akhmemra's mother and father were in the British Museum in London. Larry smiled. That's it, he thought. I have to take the tablet to London. Larry went to speak to Dr. McPhee. McPhee was clearing his office. He wasn't happy.
I've lost my job, said McPhee coldly. They think it was all my fault.
It was the tablet, said Larry. The tablet is going green, and the magic is going wrong.
McPhee stood up.
Magic? Magic? He shouted at Larry. It isn't magic.
But he sounded frightened. Larry knew that McPhee loved the museum too.
Without the tablet, there will be no more shows at night, said Larry. And the museum won't be special anymore.
I can help. But I need to take Akhmemra and the tablet to the British Museum in London.
McPhee was quiet for a moment.
I can't do it, he said, finally. I don't work here anymore.
They don't know that in London, said Larry.
Please.
All right, McPhee said at last. I can ask the British Museum to clean the tablet. You can take it, but look after it.
We're going to London, Larry told Nick.
Nick wasn't very pleased.
I can't go, he said. I've got school, and I've got plans.
Oh, yes. What plans? Said Larry. Suddenly, there was a loud,
Hiya!
From Nick's phone. Nick laughed. He had a new message.
Stop looking at your phone, Nick! Shouted Larry.
Listen to me. This will be an exciting adventure for you and me. And we can talk.
I don't want an adventure. And I don't want to talk, said Nick.
The exhibits are in trouble. Larry's voice was hard.
They need our help. So you and I are going to London.
The British Museum. Larry and Nick needed to wait until dark before driving to the British Museum. They walked by the River Thames.
That's the Tower of London, said Larry. They killed Mary, Queen of Scots, there.
No, it isn't, Nick said.
His dad knew nothing.
It's Tower Bridge. That's the Tower of London.
He pointed to a big old building by the side of the river.
And it wasn't Mary, it was Anne Boleyn.
Oh, said Larry. He looked at Nick in surprise.
About university, Larry started. I want to be a DJ in Ibiza, Nick said quickly.
A DJ? Asked Larry.
You didn't go to university, said Nick, and you've got a cool job.
Yeah, after 20 years of terrible jobs. Nick turned away.
Well, he said, I've decided. Anyway, I'm not your problem anymore.
Nick, Larry said, you're always going to be my problem. He felt really sad. Being a dad was getting more and more difficult. Larry was wearing his guard's clothes as they drove to the back entrance of the British Museum. They had Akhmemra and the tablet with them in a big box. There was one guard in a small office. Nick hid so the guard couldn't see him. She looked at Larry.
Who are you?
She asked.
Larry Daly, from the Museum of Natural History, said Larry.
Ah, yes, the American guard. You travel the world, and I can't even go inside, she said sadly. I have to sit here in this office outside one of the best museums in the world. My name's Tilly.
Tilly looked at Larry's papers. Then she came out of the small guardhouse and pushed some numbers on the wall to unlock the big doors. Behind her, Larry watched carefully. Tilly helped Larry put the big box on the floor.
That's heavy, she said.
Then she locked the doors again.
Thanks, Tilly, said Larry.
Tilly waved goodbye. But it was Nick who drove out again. Larry was waiting inside. Later that evening, Tilly was speaking on her phone, and she didn't see Nick hurry past her office in the dark. Larry pushed the right numbers and opened the door for Nick. Inside the museum, the strange light of the tablet was shining from the box. Then they heard something move, and the top of the box lifted. Akhmemra climbed out with the tablet.
Hi, said Akhmemra.
He gave the tablet to Nick, who put it in his bag.
Hi, said Larry.
Then Teddy climbed out of the box.
Good to see you, my boy, smiled Teddy.
Larry was too surprised to speak.
We had to come too. You might need us, explained Teddy.
He helped Sacagawea out of the box. Attila followed her. The Roman Octavius was next, with his small friend Jebediah. Dexter jumped out, and finally, Larry saw the big Neanderthal. La put his strong arms around Larry.
Dada!
He said happily.
Okay, said Larry slowly. But it was good to have his friends there. Perhaps they could help.
La, I want you to stay here and guard this door. Understand? La smiled and showed his big white teeth.
La door, he agreed.
Good. Everyone else, we're going into the museum. We need to find Akhmemra's parents in the Egyptian room. Stay together and be careful. We don't know what's in here. The museum was dark and full of strange sounds. Thanks to the tablet, the exhibits were coming to life for the first time. A new world was waking up. Larry and his friends moved slowly through the first room. Larry shone his torch, and they could see three ghostly women with long clothes. They were standing completely still. Larry saw that one woman didn't have a head. Another had no hands, and the third had only one arm. Behind them, there were more men and women. Some tried to walk on only one leg. Others lifted broken arms towards them. Then Larry understood. They were old statues from the Parthenon in ancient Greece. Suddenly, a small statue threw itself at Larry. The statue had no feet. It put its strong arms around Larry and pulled him to the floor.
Help! Shouted Larry.
Nick thought quickly. On the floor, there was a box of feet and hands from old statues. Nick saw a foot and threw it to his dad. Larry showed it to the statue.
Do you want this? He asked.
The statue smiled and took the foot. He sat up and put the new foot on the end of his leg. It wasn't the right size, but he didn't care. He moved away happily.
That's the answer, my boy, called Teddy. They just want some help.
so Larry and the group took hands and feet and gave them to the statues. Now the statues could move around more easily. They were happy. Suddenly, there was a loud noise. Something very big and heavy was coming towards them out of the dark. It was a triceratops, a very angry triceratops.
"We're in trouble, my boy," Teddy said quietly.
Larry remembered when he first met Rexy. Quickly, he took a big animal tooth from the wall. He threw it past the triceratops.
"Want to play?" he shouted. "Fetch!"
Rexy loved this game. But the triceratops just looked at the tooth on the floor. Then it looked back at Larry and opened its mouth.
"Yarr!"
"I think we need a different plan," said Teddy in Larry's ear. "What's that?" Larry asked as he moved slowly away from the angry triceratops.
"Run!"
shouted Teddy. A knight in shining armor. Everyone ran as fast as they could. The triceratops ran after them, but it was heavy and slow. It crashed into walls and doors. The group hurried into another room. The room was full of armor from knights long ago. Larry closed the heavy wooden door. Perhaps they were safe here.
Crash!
The triceratops came through the door. Its big teeth pulled Nick's bag from his back, and the tablet flew across the floor. Nick tried to reach it, but the animal turned to him again. The boy froze.
"Here!"
shouted Larry, and waved his arms. The triceratops ran towards him. Larry tried to run away, but he fell against a knight in armor. The triceratops was getting closer. What could Larry do now?
"Ah," said a voice behind Larry. "Can I help?"
A knight with a shining sword jumped forward to fight the triceratops. He was very quick and moved like a dancer. One moment he was in front of the animal, and the next moment he was behind it. The triceratops' teeth came dangerously close again and again, but the knight was always too quick. Then the knight threw his sword to Larry. He hit the triceratops hard between the eyes. The triceratops turned and ran away, and the fight was over.
"That was really cool," smiled Nick.
Larry gave the sword back.
"Wonderful, just wonderful."
The knight smiled at the group. He was very good looking.
"My name is Lancelot of Camelot," he said.
Teddy took his hand.
"Theodore Roosevelt, President of the USA," he said. "I've read a lot of stories about you. You are a strong and good man."
"Thank you," said Lancelot.
He took off his scarf and showed it to them. It had a picture of a beautiful place.
"This is my home, Camelot," he said sadly. "My love, the beautiful Queen Guinevere, lives there. She gave me this scarf, but I cannot go back yet.
First, I must find the Holy Grail. It's a magic cup, he explained. Drink from it, and you will never die.
Well, good luck with that, said Larry. We're going to Egypt. Thank you for your help, Lancelot.
And I will lead you, said Lancelot in a strong voice. There is strange magic here, and dangerous animals. It is my job to care for people who are in need. Follow me.
Lancelot walked to the door. Larry wasn't sure about Lancelot, but all his friends liked the knight.
Okay, cool, said Larry. Let's go, everyone.
He looked around. They weren't all there.
Where are Octavius and Jed?
They all searched for their small friends.
Look, said Sacagawea. She was holding a very small piece of red scarf.
I think they've fallen down here.
She pointed to some thin bars over a hole in the floor.
Dexter, you're small enough to go down and find them, said Larry.
Nick, we need your phone.
Why?
Asked Nick.
It will tell me where Dexter is, said Larry.
Dexter can't make phone calls, said Teddy.
I put a tracking device on Nick's phone, said Larry finally. Then I know if he is safe.
What? Shouted Nick. That's not cool. Take the phone. I don't want it.
Angrily, Nick gave Larry the phone.
Here, Dexter, put this on. We must find them, explained Larry.
Good luck!
The little monkey gave a small smile and jumped down the hole.
Hiya!
Went Nick's phone. Then the monkey disappeared. Larry took out his own phone. There was a moving blue light on it.
That's Dexter, said Larry happily.
The blue light moved again, and Larry followed it.
This way, he shouted.
Lancelot walked next to Larry.
Is the monkey always the leader of your quest?
Larry looked at him.
He isn't the leader. We're just following him.
Exactly, said Lancelot.
So, what is your quest?
A magic tablet, said Larry.
Ah,
and where is this tablet? Is it far away in the land of hope and dreams?
No, said Larry. It's there. Axe holding it.
Why don't you just take it?
Asked Lancelot.
It's not that easy, said Larry.
Octavius and Jed were on the edge of a deep, dark hole. They were lost and frightened, and an angry animal was following them. It made strange noises. They heard the noise again, and it was closer this time.
Hiya!
Ah!
Cried Jed and Octavius, and together they jumped down into the dark hole. They landed on something hard, but now there was light all around them, and they could see that they were in a small town with roads and buildings, just their size. It was all in a big glass box.
This is a Roman town, said Octavius happily.
There was a glass wall in front of them, and he tried to read a word on the other side.
It says, Yip Mop. I've never heard of that. Oh, I think I read that wrong.
Suddenly, everything in the town started to move. They looked up. There was a big mountain behind the town. The top of the mountain was on fire. It was a volcano. The fire was coming down the sides of the volcano and into the streets of the town.
Yeah, said Jed. It isn't Yip Mop.
It's Pompeii, shouted Octavius.
Lancelot was walking next to Nick.
Are those magic numbers on your arm? He asked.
Nick laughed.
Yeah, that's a girl's phone number.
Remember, said Lancelot, you are a man. No one must stand between you and your love.
I hear you, said Nick,
and he looked angrily at his dad. Larry stopped suddenly.
Shh, he said.
There was a very big snake in front of them. Luckily, it was asleep. The group moved around it carefully. Then, a green light shone in Larry's eyes. It was coming from the tablet.
Oh no, thought Larry. Not now.
Suddenly, Teddy started walking around and shouting.
What can you do for your country?
Sacagawea froze, and Attila lay down on the floor and screamed. Larry looked around. The snake was awake now and looking at them. And it had 9 heads.
The Secret of the Tomb. Lancelot was very happy. He loved fighting. He threw a sword to Nick.
Have you used a sword before?
Nick looked at the sword and then at the snake with 9 heads.
Only in World of Warcraft, he said.
Stay back, shouted Larry.
He was worried about his son.
No, cried Lancelot. Fight, boy. Show that you are a man.
He hit one of the snake's heads with his sword. Nick looked frightened, but he joined Lancelot and waved the sword in front of another of the snake's heads. Larry didn't have anything to fight with. Then he saw something on the wall. It was a heart defibrillator. Quickly, he took it and jumped over one of the snake's heads. Another head moved towards him and opened its mouth, but Larry was quick and went under it. He pushed the defibrillator against the animal's body and turned it on. The snake lifted all of its heads and then froze before falling heavily onto the floor. Lancelot was angry.
Next time, we fight like men, not magicians, he said.
He touched Nick's arm.
A good fight, my boy. Now you are a man, and you can choose your own way in life.
Larry was worried. He didn't want Nick to listen to Lancelot. But what could Larry do? Nick didn't want to listen to his father anymore.
How are you doing? Larry asked Teddy.
The president smiled.
It has passed for now, he said. But look.
Larry's phone was in pieces after the fight. How could they find Octavius and Jed now?
Okay, Larry decided. The tablet is dying. We must find Axe's parents quickly. If we don't, we can't save anyone.
Larry led the way with Akhmemra.
What was your father like? He asked.
Did you disagree with him too?
Oh yes, all the time, said Akhmemra. And I never stop thinking about it.
Octavius and Jed could feel the heat all around them. Everything was on fire. Was this really the end? Suddenly, they heard a noise above them, and they looked up. Dexter's face appeared in a hole. The monkey put his arms through the hole and lifted Octavius and Jed out of Pompeii. They were safe. Larry saw the sign to the Egyptian room. Finally, he thought. Perhaps now Lancelot will leave us.
We're here, said Larry. Now, Lancelot, you must continue with your own quest and find the Holy Grail. Thank you, and goodbye.
I will go, but I won't say goodbye, Lancelot said loudly. We will meet again.
Then he left.
Now it's just us, said Larry, and he took his friends into the Egyptian room. The room was quite dark, but on the walls they could see Egyptian letters and pictures of cats and birds. As the magic of the tablet touched them, they came to life and moved across the walls. There were strange statues too, some with men's bodies and dogs' heads. Then they saw some ghostly wooden boxes. These held the mummies of Egyptian kings. The boxes opened, and the mummies climbed out. Akhmemra welcomed the mummies like lost friends. A man and a beautiful woman came out of the dark. They were wearing rich clothes, like Akhmemra.
Mother, cried Akhmemra. Akhmen!
The beautiful woman put her arms around her son. She was crying too. The man came forward.
Father, said Akhmemra slowly.
The two Egyptians stood for a moment. Then the older man put his arms around his son.
Welcome home, my son.
Larry looked across at Nick. Nick was smiling. But when he saw Larry, he looked away.
Hi, said Larry to Akhmemra's parents. We've got a bit of a problem with the tablet. Perhaps you can help us.
The king looked at the tablet and touched the green part carefully.
It's losing its magic, he said slowly.
Then he got angry.
I left a message. The end will come.
What can we do? Asked Larry.
The secret of the tablet is for my son only, answered Akhmemra's father.
Please, father, said Akhmemra. Tell us. I'm a king now, and I need to know.
His father was quiet for a moment. Then he explained.
You came into the world
at midnight, when the moon was shining. The tablet was a present for you. It holds the magic of the moon. With this, we will never die. But it has been away from the moonlight for too long. When the sun comes up, it will be the end for all of us. The green light started to shine from the tablet again, and Akhmemra put his hands on his head.
"It hurts," he cried.
Larry and Nick took the tablet and ran out of the room. Where could they find moonlight? Then Larry saw a thin line of light which was cutting through the dark. Moonlight was coming through a small window. Larry held the tablet in the moonlight. The tablet started to feel warm again, but it stayed green. Then Larry saw that some parts of the tablet were not in the right place. He moved them quickly. There was just one more to turn when he stopped. Something cold touched his arm. Larry turned slowly. Lancelot's sword shone in the moonlight.
"We meet again," he smiled coldly. "Give me the tablet."
"I don't think so," said Larry. Lancelot moved his sword from Larry to Nick.
"How about now?"
In the streets of London. Larry had no choice. He wanted to help his friends, but he also had to save his son. He gave the tablet to the knight. Lancelot smiled.
"All this time, King Arthur was wrong. He thought the Holy Grail was a cup. But it isn't. It's a tablet. I'm going to ride to Camelot tonight."
He turned and ran, the tablet under his arm.
"Quick!" shouted Larry. "Call the others. He must not leave the museum."
Nick ran back to the Egyptian room, while Larry ran after Lancelot. They ran through room after room, and Larry was getting closer. Lancelot was wearing heavy armor, and he was slow. And running after exhibits wasn't a new activity for Larry. The knight ran around a corner and stopped. Teddy was there at the top of some stairs, and he was pointing his gun.
"Good work, Teddy," shouted Larry.
"No, there's a problem," said Teddy.
His hands froze, and the gun fell out of them. He began to fall towards the stairs. Larry jumped and saved him just in time. Lancelot ran off.
"Quick!" shouted Teddy. "Run after him!"
But Lancelot was now a long way ahead of them. Octavius, Jed, and Dexter were still trying to find their friends when they heard heavy feet on the floor. Someone was running towards them, and he was carrying their tablet.
"Did you see that, Jed?"
Octavius was angry.
"What's that strange man doing with our tablet?"
Then they heard more feet behind them. It was Larry, Nick, and the exhibits. Larry saw the small pair and put them in Nick's pocket.
"I am so happy to see you two," he smiled.
Akhmemra looked serious.
Lancelot is also an exhibit. He will also die when the sun comes up. We have to take the tablet from him.
You go that way, said Larry quickly. And I'll go down here.
Larry ran towards the back entrance of the museum. The door was open, and Lancelot was outside on a horse. The knight waved as he rode off down the road. Larry started to follow, but then someone stopped him. It was Tilly. She had La with her. She was holding his arm, and she looked very angry.
"Did you just see a knight in shining armor?" asked Larry.
"I knew there was something strange about you," she said. "I found your brother. You tried to trick me, didn't you?"
"He's not my brother," said Larry.
"I've heard enough," said Tilly. "You and your dirty brother are coming with me. Now."
The guard locked Larry and La in a small room. Larry tried hard to think of a plan, but it was no use. The door had a window, but the glass was too strong. They couldn't escape. La sat down and hit his head on the table. He was very angry with himself. He didn't guard the door well, and his friends were in trouble.
"It's not your fault, La," said Larry kindly.
La pointed to the door, and then his head.
"Yes, yes, I'm thinking," said Larry.
La went to the door. He stood back for a moment, and then he hit the window with his hard head. The glass broke into pieces, and he opened the door from the outside.
"Nice one, La!" shouted Larry. "Now we need to stop Tilly. She mustn't call the police."
But Tilly wasn't a problem anymore. She was back inside her office. Teddy and the other exhibits looked very pleased with themselves.
"That's great, guys," said Larry.
"Now we have to find Lancelot." He looked at La. The Neanderthal put his big hands on the door.
"La, stay," Larry said loudly.
"Stay," answered La.
Teddy turned to Larry. He was very worried.
"It's getting worse, my boy," he said.
Both his arms were completely frozen. Larry looked at the others. Sacagawea couldn't open her mouth, and one of Attila's eyes was now glass. Akmemra was looking older and older.
"Come on, don't stop now," said Larry. "Let's get our tablet back."
"Dad, there are 8 million people in London," said Nick. "How can we find him?"
"Sacagawea, can you help?" asked Larry.
Sacagawea looked at the road and then walked a few meters and looked again. Her eyes shone and she pointed down the road. Sacagawea was right. As they ran down the road, they could hear frightened cries. They were in Trafalgar Square. There were 4 lion statues in Trafalgar Square. But tonight, the lions were walking around and frightening the visitors.
"Lancelot certainly came here," said Larry.
A lion started to run towards him.
Oh, no! He shouted.
Quick, Larry! Shine your torch! Shouted Jed from Nick's pocket. These big cats want to play!
Larry shone his torch on the floor. The lions watched the light as it moved. Then one tried to put its foot on it. Larry moved the light again, and the other lions joined in. They loved the game, just like the cats in Octavius's favorite video.
Cool, man, laughed Jed.
Film it, shouted Octavius. We can put it on YouTube.
No time.
Larry looked around the square. There was no sign of Lancelot. Then he saw a red London bus. There was a big picture on its side. Camelot. A show about King Arthur and his famous knights was on at the Palladium Theatre. Larry smiled. He knew where Lancelot was. Finding Camelot. The group took the bus to the Palladium Theatre. The other passengers looked at them strangely. Larry could understand. How often did you see a US president, an Egyptian king, and a monkey on a city bus? And it wasn't even Halloween. They were certainly in the right place. There was a big horse in the road, and hundreds of people were running out of the building. They looked frightened. When they got inside, Larry saw Lancelot. He was standing with a beautiful woman and a man who looked like a king. Behind them, fire torches were hanging near a big picture of Camelot.
My quest is over. King Arthur, I bring you the Holy Grail.
Lancelot showed the tablet to the man.
If you have this, you cannot die.
Who are you? What are you doing?
The woman's voice was frightened.
This isn't real. This is a show.
Lancelot looked around uncertainly. He saw that Camelot was just a picture.
You're right, he said angrily. Camelot is false.
Then Lancelot saw Larry. Quickly, he took a fire torch from the wall and ran. Larry and the exhibits followed him up a lot of stairs until they came to the top of the building. They walked through a small door into the cold, dark night. Snow was falling. Lancelot was standing near the edge of the building. Please, Lancelot, give me the tablet. It's over, Larry said quietly. Lancelot waved the torch, and the heat from the fire reached his nose. It started to melt and dropped to the side of his mouth.
My nose! Cried Lancelot.
He tried to push his nose back into place.
How do I look? He asked Larry.
Not great, said Larry.
But I'm Lancelot.
The knight held his sword up like a mirror to see his face.
You're not real, said Larry softly. You're an exhibit, like the others. You came to life because of the tablet.
But I don't want to be an exhibit. I don't want to stand with children looking at me all the time.
They also learn from you, said Teddy kindly. Everyone watched
as Lancelot's nose dropped further down his face.
"Don't look at my nose!" shouted the knight.
Suddenly, Teddy froze completely and fell on his face. Attila screamed and fell down in the snow.
"Larry!"
Akmemra's eyes were big and dark in his white face.
"There is no more time."
"Look, Lancelot," said Larry quickly. "My friends are all dying. The tablet needs moonlight." Then Dexter moved forward with heavy legs. His eyes were empty, and he fell on his back. His little body was still.
"Dexter!" cried Larry. "Don't die. Fight! Fight for your life!"
He tried to move the small animal's arms and legs, but the monkey was cold. Larry picked up the dead monkey and held him in his arms. He was crying. It was his fault. He couldn't save him. He couldn't save any of his friends. He looked at his son. Nick was crying too. Lancelot spoke sadly.
"You really cared for that monkey, didn't you?"
"He was my friend," Larry said. Then Lancelot smiled.
"I understand now. The quest wasn't about the tablet. It was about real friends."
He gave the tablet to Larry.
"I have been so stupid. I am sorry."
The tablet was now completely green, and it was hard to move the pieces. Larry found the last one and pushed it into the right place. Nothing happened. It was too late. The magic was over. Or was it? As Larry watched, the green started to disappear from the tablet. Suddenly, the tablet shone with a brilliant yellow light. The exhibits slowly came to life again. Attila sat up with a surprised look on his face. Akmemra looked strong and young again. Dexter gave a cry and jumped into Larry's arms.
"Welcome back, Dex," Larry laughed.
Lancelot took the scarf from his pocket and looked at the picture of Camelot.
"It was a beautiful dream. I didn't want it to end," he said sadly.
Larry looked at his son and all of his friends.
"I understand," he said. "Believe me."
For a moment, Lancelot held the scarf close to his face. Then he lifted it up and let it go. The wind and snow carried it, and it disappeared into the dark sky. The knight touched his nose and pushed it back with his hands.
"How do I look?" he asked Larry.
Larry smiled. "You look like Lancelot." Back at the museum, Akmemra's parents were happy to see their son safe again.
"Thank you," his father said to Larry.
He looked at Akmemra.
"It's a strange thing to see your boy become a man."
Larry looked at Nick.
"I know what you mean."
The exhibits came slowly up to Larry. Teddy touched his arm.
Larry, he said quietly. We've talked about Akhmemra and...
His place is here, with his family, finished Octavius. He must stay here.
Larry thought for a moment. Okay, he said finally.
The tablet has to stay here too, continued Teddy. It's their tablet. It's only right.
Then you guys have to stay here as well, said Larry. That's the only way.
No, said Sacagawea sadly. Our home is in New York.
Larry couldn't believe it.
But then, you can't come to life again.
That's okay, big man, said Jedediah. We're museum exhibits. Children can still come and learn something from us.
We can live in their heads.
Everything was going too fast for Larry.
What was happening?
He wanted to keep the magic, not take it away.
But I'll never talk to you again. We won't have any more adventures.
Larry's voice was breaking. Teddy put his arms around Larry.
Let us go, he said softly. It's time. We're ready.
Larry looked at the exhibits, and he looked at Nick. These were the people he loved most in his life. How could he let them go? All of them. But deep inside, Larry knew that it was the right thing to do. And the right time. He had to let his friends go, and he had to let his son go too.
Let's catch the next plane, said Nick quietly. We can get home before the sun comes up.
Okay, son, said Larry sadly. He said goodbye to Akhmemra and gave him the tablet. While the exhibits were climbing back into their box, Larry remembered La. Was he still guarding Tilly? The door of the guardhouse was open, and Larry couldn't see La anywhere.
Not again, thought Larry, as he ran to look inside.
Then his mouth fell open. La was sitting happily on the floor in front of Tilly. She was talking to him and doing his hair. He looked much cleaner than before.
You are much nicer than my boyfriend, she was saying. He's a good guy, really, but he never listens to me. But you really listen, and you care, don't you?
So sorry, said Larry.
But we have to go. Oh, no, please stay.
Tilly looked into La's eyes.
We could have a life together, you and me.
La smiled at Tilly and touched her face softly. Then he walked slowly out of the office to join his friends.
I'll never forget you, she cried.
Larry turned. I know you hate your job, but wait until tomorrow night. He gave her a big smile. It's going to be the best job ever. A new day. Back at the Museum of Natural History, Larry walked around the exhibitions for the last time. There were a few moments before the sun came up, and his friends became exhibits again. It was hard to say goodbye.
When Larry finally reached Teddy, he was feeling very sad.
So, Larry said slowly, is this goodbye?
I think it is, my boy, said Teddy.
It's time for your next adventure, he smiled.
I know that Nick is going to do great things.
Yes, said Larry a little sadly. He's ready to go out into the world.
Then you've done your job, said Teddy.
You are a good man, Larry. It has been wonderful, and I will never forget you.
The president put his arms around Larry and then climbed onto his horse.
I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, said Larry.
Teddy's eyes shone.
How exciting, he said.
Early sunlight started to come through the windows and onto the exhibits in the museum.
Thank you, Teddy, said Larry. His mouth felt very dry.
Teddy smiled.
You're welcome.
Then he looked out of the window.
Smile, my boy, he said. The sun's up.
Larry looked too. It was beautiful. He turned back and saw that Teddy was not moving. Now it really was over. Nick sat with Larry outside the museum. They watched the people in the road for a moment without speaking. Then Nick said,
About Ibiza, Dad, you know, I'm not sure if it's the right thing, but I just know that it's the next thing, okay?
Sounds like a plan, smiled Larry.
That was a cool adventure, Nick said, and stood up.
Larry watched him walk off. He was growing into a man, a good man.
They grow up so fast, don't they?
Someone said behind him. It was Dr. McPhee.
Happily, I don't have children.
The head of the museum looked terrible. His face and clothes were dirty.
I slept in the park, he explained. I didn't know what to do. Did everything go well in London?
Yes, said Larry. Very well. Akhmemra and the tablet are staying at the British Museum.
McPhee's face went white.
But you can't do that.
Larry gave a big smile.
No,
but you can, he said. I'm going to tell Dr. Phelps that all the problems in the planetarium were my fault. You'll get your job back.
But you'll lose yours.
That's okay, said Larry. It's time for me to go. He took his torch from his pocket and gave it to McPhee.
This is yours now.
Thank you. That's... I'm...
McPhee looked uncomfortable. Then he gave Larry a small smile. Larry took his bag and walked down the road. It was the beginning of a new day, and, as Teddy said, it was exciting.